Good morning to you. Good morning to you. We're all in our places with bright smiling faces. This is the way to start a new day.
All right, let's sing it together.
Good morning to you. Good morning to you. We're all in our places with bright smiling faces. This is the way to start a new day.
And we go right into the right.
This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. We will rejoice, and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord has made.
Maybe we should have one guy singing, and we need an echo over here. Okay?
We will rejoice.
That we will rejoice, and as they say.
Oh, well, don't worry about it. You won't make any more mistakes.
We haven't sound like too many of them are rejoicing.
Yeah, we need to rejoice when we sing. All right, once again, everyone together.
This is the day. This is the day.
We're supposed to start over here, or over here.
This is the day,
and then the echo.
This is the day.
That the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made.
We will rejoice.
We will rejoice. And be glad in it. Be glad in it. And then all together.
Okay. I'm just going to work with this side. Okay.
This is the day. This is the day.
That the Lord has made.
That the Lord has made.
We will rejoice.
Brother Ernie Woodhouse, if he would commend us to the Lord in prayer at this time.
Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity of being together with an open Bible. Thank you for our servant who is here and teach us from that word. And we ask that our ears and our hearts may be open, and that when we leave, it will be thoughtfully and spiritually
Amen. Let's turn in our Bibles, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, for the benefit of those who might be listening to this tape, yesterday we read Romans chapter 14, verses 10 through 12, and it seems there that the judgment seat of Christ is spoken of in relation to my brother in Christ. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 9 through 15, as well as in chapter 4 of 1 Corinthians, verses 4 and 5, and it seems to be the judgment seat of Christ in relation to the local assembly. And here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it seems to be the judgment seat of Christ in relation to deeds done throughout the whole of my Christian life. But Paul said, we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I believe, as you do, that he is speaking of Christians. We believers must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or that. Now, we ended yesterday by saying that every Christian, I believe, will experience three judgments. And using that terminology needs to be qualified. I realize that. But I believe every Christian will experience three judgments. One is in the past, one is in the present, and one is in the future. As far as the past is concerned, we who are saved can say by the grace of God and on the authority of the Word of God that we have been judged as sinners. And we will never be judged as sinners again. I believe that. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth from all sin. How does God see us in Christ? Look at Colossians chapter 1. This portion comes to my mind as I think of this subject. Colossians chapter 1. Come down to verse 20. Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And having made peace through the blood of his cross. Interesting that the Word of God would speak of the cross as his cross. We are inclined to think, well, wasn't Barabbas scheduled to be crucified on that cross? Yes, but he's the lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. That's amazing. We stand before God in Christ in such a way that as God looks down into us with his deep penetrating eyesight, and that's what the word in his sight means, the x-ray vision of God. As God looks down into us, he sees us in Christ and he sees us holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight. Who shall lay any charge to God's elect? It's God who justifies. And so we can say on the authority of the Word of God that we have been judged as sinners. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. We have been judged as sinners. Isaiah speaks about sins being cast behind God's back. Isaiah 38 and 17. Micah speaks about sins being cast into the depths of the sea. That's Micah chapter 7 and verse 14, is it? Cast into the depths of the sea. I believe if these verses say anything, they convey to us that sins are out of God's sight, behind God's back. You know, when something is behind your back, you can't see it. And our sins are cast behind God's back. They're out of sight. When we come to Psalm 103, verse 12, we read, as far as the east is from the west. Once again, we think of the tabernacle, we think of the temple being situated facing east, so that when the priest would go from the brazen altar toward the tabernacle or the temple, he would be going from east to west. Interesting, isn't it? That the Word of God would say, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgression from us. How far is that, by the way? How far is the east from the west? I'm glad that the word doesn't say as far as the north is from the south. Because you know there are two points on the globe, where north and south meet. We can go north to a certain point, and we meet the south. Any direction we take thereafter is south, isn't it? Or we go south to a certain point, and any direction we take thereafter is north. He says as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. They are out of sight. They are out of reach. And we read in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, as well as in chapter 10 and verse 17, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. We sometimes sing in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Well, I wouldn't argue with that. I don't believe it would be a sense of God forgetting. You see, that would be a lapse of memory. Now, we have that difficulty, don't we? We have that difficulty. God doesn't forget. It's not a negative thing with him. It's a positive thing with him. He remembers no more. They're out of mind. And so the Word of God teaches that our sins are gone. G-O-N-E, gone. And praise God, we can say we have been judged as sinners, and I believe we will never be judged as sinners again. His blood cleanseth us from all sin. But look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. And verse 6. Hebrews 12 and verse 6. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Lord chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards, are illegitimate, and not sons. And we have three children. They're all grown. Two daughters and a son. When Eddie was, he's 82, Eddie Jr., and he has an Eddie. He really edified it. When Eddie Jr. was a little boy, and I realize there are some in the audience here who would remember those days, he was around us. Look after his mother. He was around. He was always in the temple, always in the trouble. And there were times when we would hear some screaming and yelling outside, and Louise and I would look at each other, what in the world is going on? And we would open the door and look out, and here would be five or six children out there on the sidewalk, just going at it, you know, crying, screaming, hitting at one another, fighting one another. Well, Eddie would be in the middle there somewhere. But now there would be several neighborhood children. You know who I would call? Whom I would call? Eddie! And Eddie would come, what's the problem here? Now here, four, five, six, eight, ten children perhaps are all involved in this fight or whatever. I would be concerned with one. I would be concerned with my son. And if he were at fault, then I would have to deal with him. But maybe others were at fault too. But would I punish them? Why would I not punish them? Because they're not my children. I'll deal with my child, you see. Now we have been judged as sinners. And as we were saying last night, we rejoice in the finished work of Christ. We'll never be judged as sinners again. But I believe the judgment that is going on right now is this judgment whereby we are being judged as sons. God is dealing with us as children. Whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. Now we are reminded what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation or judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. Why were some sick and perhaps at the point of death? And why had some already died? Because God was dealing with them as a father does with his children. Now we are reminded too from what Paul says in Romans. Well, if the grace of God abounds, are we to keep on sinning that grace may keep on abounding? God forbid, he says. Perish the thought. Thank God where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. But we are not to have any thought. We are not to entertain any thought about, well, let's keep on sinning so that grace may keep on abounding. Oh, no. No. I cannot work my soul to save, for this my Lord has done, but I would work like any slave for love to God's dear Son. And we work from that position, don't we? We love Him, and we do what we do because of His love for us, and in response, our love to Him. But we are being judged as sons, and we're not going to get away with anything. You know, some people, and you have encountered them, no doubt, some people might say, you mean, once saved, always saved? Why, my, if I believe that, I could go out and do anything I want to do. Oh, no, no, because with salvation comes a new set of wants. I mean, when one is really transformed, we have a new set of wants, do we not? We want to please Him. But we are being judged now as sons, and we're not going to get away with anything. We have been judged as sinners, we are being judged as sons. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. We are going to be judged as servants. This is the judgment yet to come. And as I said yesterday, I believe the judgment seat of Christ, which will take place after we are caught up to be with the Lord in the air, and before we go on into the marriage supper of the Lamb, I believe the judgment seat of Christ will be for the purpose of making all adjustments, putting everything right. You know, we're not to judge anything before the time. Sometimes we do that or attempt to do that, but we're not to judge anything before the time. You know, it's a solemn thing, isn't it, sir? We think of Abel being dead, yet speaketh. So far as the unsaved are concerned, think of those men who have sought to rule out God and discredit God. Think of those men and women who have influenced others against God, against the things of God, against the Bible. Think of those who have put their ungodly thoughts into print, and though they are dead, yet they continue to speak. And I believe they are continuing to keep judgment to themselves. That's all. Don't judge anything before the time. And yet on the other hand, think of those Christians who not only influenced others for God while they lived, but whose writings are in print and they continue to teach, to instruct, to influence others for good, for God, whose lives are being changed today because of their influence, and they, I believe, are continuing to heap to themselves rewards. Judge nothing before the time. But there is coming that day when we will stand before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ, and all adjustments will be made. Everything will be put right before going on into the marriage supper of the Lamb. And I believe the judgment seat of Christ will determine what administrative responsibilities we will have in the millennial reign of Christ. We will come to rule and reign with Him. We are going to come on our honeymoon, as it were, we the bride with the bridegroom, but we will rule and reign with Him. And I believe our administrative responsibilities at that time will be determined by what we do as servants here and now. And so we are going to be judged as servants. All right, we pointed out briefly yesterday that it will be a time of revealing. Every one of us shall give account, Romans 14 and 12. Every man's work shall be made manifest, 1 Corinthians 3 and 13. He will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the heart. 1 Corinthians 4 and 5. Remember in Hebrews chapter 4 we read, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. Here are those same words that we find in Colossians chapter 1, and we find them several times in Scripture. In his sight. And they mean the penetrating vision of God, the x-ray vision of God. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And so when we stand at the judgment seat of Christ, it will be a time of revealing. Not only so, it will be a time of reviewing. A time of reviewing. Several of us were talking yesterday, and I mentioned to these brethren that I was going to mention this particular point today. When we think of judgment, we are to differentiate between penal judgment and, say, administrative judgment. We go into a courtroom, and there is judgment there. But we go to a county fair, and there is judgment there as well. Might be a beauty contest. There is judgment. Might be the Olympic Games. There is judgment. There are the judges. And there they are seated on the platform. And Paul had this in mind when he spoke about not being disqualified in the race as a Christian and so on. So we're not thinking of penal judgment. As I said, we will not be judged as sinners. We've already been judged as sinners. This will be a judgment or review with rewards in mind. What have we done for the Lord Jesus Christ in our Christian experience? From the time we became a Christian until the time we see Him face to face, what have we done for the Lord? So it will be a time of reviewing. And it will be for reward. The motive of our work will be reviewed. Why do we do what we do? The Lord said, "Whosoever shall give you a cup of cold water in my name, he shall not lose his reward." Why do we do what we do? I sometimes tell people, don't do something for the Lord. And I have thought at times, well, I'd like to do something for the Lord. Well, thank God for anyone who wants to do something for the Lord, but don't do something for the Lord. Do everything for it. Whatever you do, do everything for the honor and glory of our wonderful Lord. Remember, the Lord dealt with Peter, and you know, had it been left up to us to deal with Peter in denying the Lord the way he did, you talk about wash his feet, we would have taken a steel brush and lye soap, and we would have scrubbed until the skin came off. And maybe even then we would have said, you get out of here and don't show your face again. Good riddance of bad rubbish. Deny the Lord like that. And yet 50 days later, talk about the grace of God. 50 days later, he's preaching on the day of Pentecost, and about 3,000 souls are saved. That is the grace of God. The grace that saves is the grace that restores. But the Lord, in dealing with Peter, the Lord didn't say, Peter, remember, I told you what you were going to do. Remember? Now, we would have done that. Remember, I told you. We sometimes said to each other, oh, listen, okay, I accept your apology. I forgive you. I forgive you. But you let the same thing happen 3 months later. Yeah, remember, that was that other time, you know. The Lord is not so. He said, Peter, do you love me? I would much rather see a believer, how shall I say this? I'd much rather see a believer whose heart is right, though his head is not right. Doctrine, you understand what I'm saying. I'd much rather see a believer whose heart is right, though his head is not right, than to see one whose head is right, but his heart not right. Good to see one who's right both ways, but the Lord said, Peter, do you love me? Paul said, the love of Christ constraineth me. And there is only one spring of action for any believer that will stand the approval of God. And that is, we do what we do because of the constraining love of Christ and for His honor and His glory. You remember in Revelation chapter 2. Open your Bible there. Revelation chapter 2. The Lord, in speaking to the church at Ephesus, said to them in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 2, He said, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience. Now, something doesn't sound right here, does it? Remember what was said of the church at Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1? Paul, in commending the believers there, said, I know your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope. But you see, here were believers doing everything right outwardly. But they had left their first love. And the Lord said, I know thy works, not work of faith. I know thy works. Not labor of love. I know thy works and thy labor. Not patience of hope. I know thy patience. And we have to walk close to the Lord. We have to keep close account. We have to walk in the knowledge of His presence day after day and do what we do because of the constraining love of Christ and for His honor and glory. Now remember, the Lord has x-ray vision. He knows all things. And so when we stand before our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it will be a time of revealing. It will be a time of reviewing. The motive will be reviewed. Why did we do what we did? And the method of the work done will be reviewed. What method did we use? I'm telling you, you talk about some of the shysters that we... Now, thank God for everyone who exalts Christ. I watch some of these television evangelists, some of them on the radio, and I thank God for any and all of them who exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and speak well of my faith. But I must tell you, there are times when I see things done, and I've been guilty of doing things myself that will not meet the approval of God. And maybe all of us would have to confess to that to whatever extent. But I think of some of these shites and some of the methods that they use to get money from people. I remember watching one of these men on television. And he was preaching from the Word, giving a little sermonette from the Word about not letting the one hand know what the other hand is doing. And he said, now why don't we do this? Why don't we obey the Word of God? Let me challenge you people to obey this scripture. Don't let the one hand know what the other hand is doing. And now he said, I want you to give. And you wives, I want you to give today. Don't let your husbands know what you're getting. Let's obey this. Don't let your husbands know what you're getting. And you husbands, you give. Dig deep into your wallet, into your pocketbook. And you husbands, don't let your wives know what you're getting. Don't let the one hand know what the other hand is doing. And he said, now listen, this is what we're going to do too. He says, when you give today, we're not going to give you tax receipts. Don't expect a tax receipt when you give this time. Because that way the government will know what you're giving. You see, let's not let the one hand know what the other. This is the way we preach. His sidekick got up and Jim wanted to know where he was going. Well, he said, I have some money out in my glove box. I'm gonna do what you say. I'm gonna go get the money I have in my glove box. So off he went. And this man went on, you know. He said, now to show you that I practice what I preach, he pulled out his wallet, he reached down his wallet, and he pulled out a $100 bill, man, that is a $100 bill. You know, just to say, now, I'm going to give me $100. And you should be able to give me $100 too. So he said, this is my emergency money. Oh, sometimes you're up driving on the highway, you have a flat tire, and before you know it, it costs $100. And he said, so I usually keep this, but he said, I'm going to obey the Word. I'm going to practice what I preach, and I'm going to give. Oh, he says, wait a minute, I'm not practicing what I preach. And I know this now. I'm not practicing what I preach. I'm letting you know what I'm giving. Well, he said, I'm going to give it anyway. I'm going to give me $100. He did say that, but I mean, that was the upshot of it. And here the camera goes around the audience, and he calling for things like this. But as I said, we are guilty of using some methods at times, perhaps, that will not meet the approval of the Lord either. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. Fellow believer, whatever we've done must be according to the Word of God. It must be actuated by the Spirit of God. And it must be accomplished for the glory of God. The motive will be reviewed. The method will be reviewed. And the measure of the work done will be reviewed. Oh, now, you know, we are inclined to say, well, Scripture says of what sort it is, not of what size, but of what sort. That's true, but remember, when the man who went to a far country to get for himself a kingdom and return, when he returned, he asked, how much? How much? And the Lord is going to ask us in a coming day as he reviews, now let's see, how much do you have here for my honor and glory? Now I believe, as we pointed out in one of the scriptures, then will every man have praise of God. I believe that indicates then every one of us will have something there for which he will praise us. But it will be a time of reviewing, a time of revealing, and a time of rewarding. We'll get into the reward, Lord willing, in the morning. Shall we close in a word of prayer? Now, Father, we do thank thee for this day, for the knowledge of thy presence. And we pray as we move about this day that we will be conscious of thy abiding presence,